B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Mads on an agenda-free Friday, presented by your Bernardi Auto Group. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Felger and Mads presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And simulcast continues across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. I'll go right to the phones unless there's any fresh thoughts here at this hour. Murray, Mads, anyone?
Well, I would like to actually just add quickly, because you said that we're going to be replaying Bruins-Leafs over the weekend, Game 7.
Yes, sir.
Which, as we all know, is one of the great comebacks in league history. And as we listen to it, Murray, I just wanted to point out that had the Bruins lost that game, my friend, you'd probably still be working in Topeka.
That's true. Yeah. Now, that definitely helped parlay my way into this job. So, yeah, I would be somewhere else.
But back to the callers.
Okay. Alex in Methuen on the NBA playoff format. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Mike. So, and this is a crazy thought that I've been thinking to myself for at least a week now. With the NCAA tournament being out of the way and not happening and people kind of clamoring to see that, I think it'd be who of basketball and its ownership and commissioner to decide if they want to do something crazy. I know it's been talked in the last couple of years to do a single elimination tournament coming in maybe June or July, make it either 24 teams, 12 in each conference. Single elimination, winner takes it, and whoever wins, wins.
So,
I personally think the playoff format in basketball right now is completely unwatchable, in my opinion. I think basketball as a sport suffers. But I think this is a way to bring in a crowd and bring in people and have brackets, and the amount of money they would make behind that I think would be nuts. Do neutral sites, maybe.
Okay, Alex, I'm going to stop you. Bringing in people doesn't – the only reason they would do that is if they can only do it in one building without people. If they can bring in people, they're doing seven-game series and home away, and so – those things are mutually exclusive. But the only way I would accept, so let's just say their window is so tight and it's been pushed back so much and their options are so limited. The only thing they could possibly do, Maz, is over a 2-week period, a 16 team, one and done, single elimination, Sweet 16 NCAA style bracket. If that's all they could do, I would take it, because I'll take anything at this point. But,
me too.
But listen, It has to be for the NBA championship. You're crowned the actual NBA championship. I am not into an exhibition tournament because I'm not in it just for the sake of watching it. You know, there has to be stakes that I care about. And if they come up with a brand new trophy, I'm not going to care about it. And I'm all for them doing this thing going forward, by the way, like creating this in-season tournament like they do in soccer, like these big-picture ideas they were talking about even before the coronavirus. But that's something that, you know, that's an investment for the future. So 30 years from now, our kids are into that in-season tournament. It's not for us, but I think it's a – like, I don't mind that. But all I'm saying is, if all they have is a one-off tournament like that, I want it for the NBA champion, and you raise the banner, and you have the trophy, and you're the NBA champion. Then I'd watch.
Yeah, I want closure on this season. And again, if you're using it as a laboratory and then you're going to make that tournament something else during the season, fine. So look, at the end of the day, in terms of, you know, how much time they have and what they give us, I'll take just about anything, really. Because the problem right now as a fan is that you have no leverage. It's nothing or something, and we'll always take something. So I would it be fun for a couple of weeks? Sure, but ideally you want some series there.
So officially, I don't mean officially, but... reportedly is what I mean. CNBC, of all places, the financial network, has sources in the NBA that says they are looking at bringing everyone to Vegas and using Vegas as a possible location to conclude the season. Now, what the season would look like? You would have a play-in tournament for lower-seeded teams to enter the postseason. So they would take seeds, I don't know, whatever, 7, 8, 9, 10, call it, and have a little play-in tournament to determine the bottom seeds. Then the first round would be best of five, followed by 2 1-and-done rounds, followed by a five-game NBA final, which, like, I'm into anything. I'll take anything. And they should be creative and think of everything. So I don't want to, you know, discourage them. But that seems a little convoluted to me.
Yeah, and the one-and-dones, it's just... That's not enough. Like Chris said, like, make it a best of three then. Because otherwise, it just seems ass backwards to me.
To have five rounds in the first, But I'm sorry, 5-game series in the first round, but in the second and third, they're one and done.
And if they explain that you said earlier, so that's a five gamer in the first round because right. It's a tune up essentially to get the rust off. Like, fine.
I mean, look, I was asking, like, why would they do it that way? Like, why would they have a 5-game series in the first round?
That makes the most sense.
But go one and done in the second and third, and then I said, oh, well, maybe they're treating that as like a tune up.
Yeah.
You know, because those 1 versus 8, you know, they just assume the favorites are going to win there, and that can serve as a little tune up for the real games. So, like, I guess, but I wouldn't mind having a week of quote-unquote regular season games just to clean it up to get have a little run-up. I think the guys are going to need that.
For sure.
Before you jump into playoff games.
You know, the more I think about it, I wonder if they have that, scheduled the way they do or set up the way they do because they're fearful of losing high seeds in one game in the first round. In other words, I think it's unlikely, but they say, hell, it's one game. What if someone can't play? What if someone just has a bad night and goes 3 for 19? Or so, you know, and then we lose the Clippers and the Lakers.
Right.
Like, we can't have that. So they want to mitigate that. But even so, I don't get the one and done after that. Like, you know, make it a 3-game series in the first round and then, you know, 3-3, 5-5 or something like that. But not, I don't get going from 5 to 1 and done. That makes no sense to me.
But the whole thing about being in Vegas, the finals would be held in Las Vegas at the Thomas and Mack Center and Cox Pavilion, which house summer league games. No fans. Those places are used to holding games and you can televise them. They'll serve as a glorified TV set. And you keep people out, you quarantine just the people who are clear to be in the building, and you don't just, you know, not only test them and quarantine them, you keep them in a bubble, not allowed to interact with the rest of society, and, you know, like, it's a sacrifice, but that's what it would take to finish that thing. Maz had heard that, you know, these leagues are actually talking amongst themselves and maybe getting together and doing something even bigger, host cities that could have multiple sports, like Omaha, Nebraska, Maz, as you had mentioned.
Yeah, so again, this would require the cooperation of multiple leagues, and we're talking about basically everybody but the NFL, including MLS. And what they would do is find a number of different cities that could host multiple events and multiple sports. So, again, I mentioned Omaha. They'd be able to do hockey there. They'd be able to do basketball there. I don't know if there's a soccer facility or, you know, stadium for MLS, but you get the idea. And then you find 4 or 5 of those, these quote-unquote little bubbles in more remote places that are maybe more like college towns or what have you. And then you have little tournaments there with select teams that are assigned to that city. And again, this becomes like the World Cup. And if you remember back in the mid-90s when the World Cup was here, some games were played in Foxborough, some were in Chicago, I think some were in Florida, the West Coast. There were venues that were quote-unquote host cities. The other interesting element of this particular scenario is that, let's say, we'll use Boston as an example, that the Celtics and Bruins, because they're both in the postseason, would go to the same city. And then in that city, they would also be housed in the same hotel. So that if there were any risk or if there were any outbreak in that hotel, it's just Boston teams and Boston guys, and there isn't the risk of it then infecting other teams and potentially mushrooming like it has here already.
I find it interesting. I really do. People ask me all the time, what are you going to talk about for the next month? What are you going to discuss? And I say, you know what? We haven't been this thing.
Yeah.
Where are we going for the hockey tournament? When we, meaning like, where are they going for the hockey tournament?
The royal we. Yeah.
Where are they going for the basketball tournament? What city are they going to play it in? What's that format going to look like? What are the brackets going to look like? What are they ultimately going to determine? And that's what we're talking about for the next month. That and the NFL draft. Ooh, are we going to stretch that puppy out?
Oh.
Thank God the NFL draft continues. You thought the Felger-Maz big board was ubiquitous before this. You thought we did a lot of... Wait till you see how much time we spend on defensive tackles this year.
This year, Mike, I might actually get the names right. Studying, knowing the names.
Believe
and
me.
Mike, this is a secondary thing, too. But as you mentioned, the NBA in Vegas, the Thomas and Mack Center, and this is only, you know, if you get to the point where there is a bubble or even that there are no bands in Vegas for public gatherings and you can actually sell tickets and have fans in the arena. And I'm not sure that's all that important in the case of the NBA, but let's say they get to that stage. That's a big building. I looked it up. Like,
oh no, that's a real basketball arena.
Oh, that's a 20,000 seat arena. That's a real building. They could pack that place if they had good teams there.
So again, right? So factor that in. Are you in a place where there are no bans on public gatherings because there hasn't been an outbreak there? Now that's you're inviting people to fly in from other places, but. Now you look at that next layer. You don't allow anyone to fly in, or you have the thermometers there at the door.
Temporal thermometer.
Yes, yeah. That's what I meant. Temporal thermometers or something. You know, just and I'm not sure that that's all going to be kosher or not. But it should all be on the table. It should all be bantied about. It should all be discussed. And I would like to think they're looking at all this stuff as they should be. Tony and Stoneham, your thoughts?
How you doing?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Okay. Question for Tony, I want to understand what you were saying and what you guys were just talking about. You're saying take two teams like the Celtics and the Bruins, you send them to some city where they both can play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, let me ask you this. The problem is they're going to be interacting with people when they go on a plane, even though it's chartered, people you know, handling their bags, hotel rooms, restaurants, everything.
No. No restaurants, Tony.
Well, how do they eat?
They get delivered their food.
They deliver their food?
Yep.
Well, it could work, but you know, once they leave someplace and go someplace else, you don't know what's there. For example, the deaths in the United States doubled in the last 2 days.
No, understood, Tony. This is for deeper into the summer. Hopefully the curve gets flattened and things calm down. So that's first and foremost. They wouldn't do it now when things are still spiking and it's getting worse. No. The idea is that hopefully things start to get better and the conditions are better. So that's number one. But number two is, no, it'd have to be strictly quarantined. And, you know, anyone those guys interact with would have to be cleared. If I were them, I wouldn't let them leave. I wouldn't let them go outside the hotel or the, you know, whatever the quarantined areas are. And that's it. And it's a sacrifice the players would have to make. And if they're not willing to make it, then forget it.
You're
not
play.
Doing it.
Yeah, they're watched 24/7. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's the bubble games. And
yes.
You essentially have a chaperone. Anyone sees you try to go out and live your life normally?
Nope.
You're out.
No, you'd really have to run it almost like a lab experiment, right? You know, that in the old, and not to get too geeky on you, but you run an experiment in a lab, there's a control in which there are no external factors. So you put the team on the plane with only team personnel, team chef, the whole nine yards,
yep.
And that guy prepared, or that woman prepares all the food, and that everything is controlled. There's no contaminants from the outside whatsoever.
And if you want to, like, I don't know, if they could have a couple family members, they have to be tested, they have to be quarantined, they can't leave the. It's a totally contained hamster cage, as I mentioned earlier, and you hermetically seal it, and we all just run around the hamster cage for 3-4 weeks to find an NBA champion. And if they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. But I think they want to because of the revenue. The revenues impact their salaries, their salary cap, the percentage of revenues they get. They're all, it's not just the owners, the players are leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table. If this doesn't go through, they want to get paid, don't they?
Oh, of course.
So, you want to get paid? Go in the hamster cage, and that's sort of the deal. Sounds cruel, but that's the deal. Back with more right after this.
Filger and Mez. Filger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Mark, we need to think about crowds gathering again in places like your basketball arena.
Right.
You heard Dr. Gottlieb talk about the time frame for a potential vaccine. You imagine a day where everybody coming in to watch one of your basketball games goes through a magnetometer and also has their temperature taken?
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to use thermal guns to take someone's temperature and to look for fevers. I mean, is it feasible? Yes, absolutely. We have to be very cautious, particularly as we try to come back. I think, you know, at first though, we'll play a lot of games without fans and then figure it out as some of the available medicines that Dr. Gottlieb mentioned become available. We'll go from there.
But you can envision playing games at first without any fans at all?
Without question. That's what I expect will happen. Look, people need something to rally around right now. People need sports. We need something to cheer for, something to get excited about. And there's nothing better than our sports team to do it. I mean, getting excited about a game tonight, everybody, you know, in your area watching it, rooting and cheering on. We need that right now. And I think the NBA, and I'm just guessing here, speculating, but I think the NBA is going to try to come back as early as we can without spectators, just on basketball, just on TV and streaming, and just give people something to celebrate.
There's Mark Cuban on CNBC. I'm with him. All that's going to happen, but he's leaving out a big part of it, and you're going to make your money, too, or try and get some of it back anyway. NBA's taking a big bath this year, you know, and not that I followed this story, Maz, much, but apparently that Daryl Morey tweet about China and that thing in the preseason cost them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, almost a half a billion.
I mean, which is crazy. Just freaking crazy. So they've been behind the eight ball financially because of that. One stupid tweet. See, nothing good comes on Twitter. So there's that. And now they're going to lose, you know, now they're just trying to mitigate the damage of how much they've lost. And, I mean, that's okay. I don't begrudge them. You know, the players have to get paid. And you know, never mind all the, you know, ancillary things around these businesses. It's, people are getting crushed financially. And so you want to try and mitigate the damage. Go mitigate the damage. I have no issue with that whatsoever. Just don't tell me that it's purely for, like, the civic good. I mean, there's...
Right. There's a bottom line.
There's tens and hundreds of millions of dollars on the table, Mark. And you're going to try and make as much of that as you can. That's fine, too. No problem. No one begrudges you that.
No, that's right. Look, they have all kinds of motives. I mean, the first of which is their bottom line. I get that. But I will say, even, you know, the more I think about it, and again, the public has no leverage, the fans have no leverage, so we'll take whatever we can get. But just being able to sit on your couch and turn on a game that actually means something, even if there's no one in the stands. I know you'll take it over Captain Underpants.
Yeah.
I'll take it over Glee, which is what my kids are binge watching at the moment.
And I'll take it over classic games. You know, I don't really consume those.
I don't either.
I don't.
Me neither.
I know it works for some people. I can't rewatch something like that I know the outcome of. And I mean, occasionally I'll watch, you know, some of these Super Bowls that they'll put on the NFL Network, I find myself tuned to for like 20, 30 minutes, but to sit there in its entirety, I can't do it.
Can't. I can watch a movie over and over. I can watch, yeah, you know, other things. I've been watching the OJ documentary, which I've seen a couple times.
Right.
ESPN, which is just terrific. I mean, I can watch that over. I can't watch a sporting event over and over.
Well, it's because it's about the immediacy and the unknown, right? That's what makes sports so great.
I mean, I used to be able to. I watched that 80 Olympic hockey win. I must have seen that 20 freaking times on my old beta tape. Like, yeah. I used to. There was a time I could do it. Not really anymore.
I've invested in the 30s for 30s. I think those are pretty good.
So bring us back live sports in whatever context it takes. Tom and Quincy, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, guys? To be honest with you, I'm fine with it because after going through MLB opening day yesterday with no freaking baseball at all, it was atrocious. So if it means that, you know, the players, I mean, even with hockey, Mike, seriously, if I don't know what the big thing is with fans going, well, they got to have fans in the stands. It's like, well, if you watch it on TV, they got the technology to lay down audio of crowd. They put the game in front of a green screen, for Christ's sake, and put in fake fans and noise or whatever the hell you want. But I don't mind. I want to see baseball back as quick as possible, unlike you guys. But NBA, honestly, I could not care less if it ever comes back, ever. I won't watch it if it's on fake TV, live TV, stream TV, no fans. I couldn't care less. But whatever gets MLB back, whatever gets hockey back, get the football season started on time, as long as everybody's on the same page, is doing the right thing, maybe we can eventually get to that point, and then we can all get our sports back, and then we don't have to worry about this stuff anymore.
Exactly, Tom. So when I think of it, the sports that I watch on TV that needs a crowd, I really think there's only one, and that's basketball. The crowd in hockey really is a non-factor because, you know, home ice doesn't matter. The crowd doesn't matter. The crowd, maybe the crowd in Montreal influences the ref a little bit because they just, you know, they cry over every time someone hits the ice. But other than that, it's really the officiating almost always balances out in hockey, whether you're home, road. It's been proven a million times over. It doesn't matter if you're home, road, even in the biggest games. It doesn't matter. You know, in between when the action stops, you blare the music in the stadium anyway. Like, I can imagine watching a hockey game on TV and not really noticing the crowd's gone or even missing it. And I'd say the same thing about baseball. How many baseball games do you watch where there's no one in the stands to begin with?
Right.
You watch some of these games in, you know, Cleveland or, you know, wherever.
Chicago White Sox.
Baltimore, Chicago White Sox. The stadium's empty at 2. Do you not watch? No, you watch. So what's the diff? Basketball, I think, really influences the, you know, not just the flow of the game, the officials, the viewing experience. You'll really miss it in basketball. I don't know if you really miss it in any other sport.
Well, the NBA, I almost half wonder what the game will look like without the crowd, and do the officials actually call it straight?
Right.
Like, there might be a benefit there. Because the one thing you hear consistently from everybody in that league is that the thing that changes more than anything else from arena to arena is the officiating. So if you take that out, who knows what it does to the outcome?
Mark in Worcester joins us next on the Patriots quarterback situation. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I was thinking a couple things. Did Brady do a disservice by actually playing out of the cold weather? He's heading down to Tampa, playing half of his games in 90-degree weather when I think he's probably one of the best cold-weather quarterbacks ever. So that's my first point. Second point, I just wanted to name a few quarterbacks, such as Colin Kaepernick, Sam Bradford, Alex Smith, and Andrew Luck. Sam. I'll get off the line and let you guys talk.
Okay, Sam Bradford. Is he still in the league? Where is he?
No thanks.
Where is that guy?
On the street, I think.
I didn't even know he was still in the league, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I think he's pouring drinks in Oklahoma. That's what he's doing.
Tom Brady's one of the best cold weather quarterbacks. I think Tom Brady's one of the best quarterbacks ever in every condition, except for Maz. Aren't his numbers actually kind of bad in hot weather?
Yeah, so we got that during the year, and I remember there was something like over 80 degrees or, you know, but then I think if I remember right, Mike, we had someone call the next day and say, this guy's full of crap. His numbers are actually good down there. So, look, I just happen to think that.
I think it's a Dolphins problem. It's a team problem in Miami is probably what that's mostly. And they've had a couple early regular season games in Jacksonville, too. I think if you looked at Brady, call it after Thanksgiving in warm weather, I bet he's amazing.
Yeah, I just think that is, it's always misleading when you say a guy struggles at this place. Well, because he's playing against that team. That's why. And if you flip it around, it's totally different. But I do think the caller's point is a good one in that a lot of guys can play well in good weather. There aren't a lot that can play the same in bad weather or cold weather. And so if you were to put a game in cold weather, Brady would have an advantage over most guys. Maybe he loses some of that in some of the warmer climates.
There's a big advantage. Agreed. Yeah. Nancy in Foxborough on Brady. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, guys. There's two reasons Brady left. First of all, Bill got it mostly right. Tom was never going to retire, and there was no market for him. But the Buccaneers played it brilliantly. They were not going to be burned. They said to him, you publicly divorce the Patriots, and then we'll finish your deal. Hence, his visit to Bob's house and the post the next morning. Because if he brought the Bucs deal to Bill, Bill would have found a way to keep him. So the Bucs played this brilliantly.
Thanks, Nancy. Maz, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I think the Brady camp did, too, because I felt that way at the time, that until they cut the Patriots loose, they made sure they had someone else on the hook. And that's really the way I think they handled it. Now, in this case, they had two. They knew that the Chargers wanted him, the Bucks wanted him, and they said to Brady, is this good enough for you? And he said, yep, I like Aaron's. I've heard good things. Manning, blah, 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 and I'm making some of that up. But I'm presuming those steps took place. And then he went to see Kraft the next day and said, I'm out. That's it. It's over. I'm done.
Okay, last segment of your wonderful phone calls. Last chance to get in. We'll talk to you right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think they've always underestimated in New England. You got to put your arms around athletes a little bit. They want to be liked. They want to be loved. You don't have to tell people all day you love them, but you got to hug them occasionally. Occasionally. I'm all for tough love. But I think there's a little bit of a lack of warmth with Belichick, and I think it wore Brady out.
Two conditions that have to be met for Belichick to regret this. Tom Brady goes to Tampa and uses those weapons that everybody's singing about and serenading, and he gets to a Super Bowl, okay? That's one condition that has to be met. And the other one is that Bill Belichick can't find a quarterback, whether it's Stidham or somebody else. Belichick has to fail. So if Belichick was to go 5-11 next season and Tom Brady was to get to the Super Bowl, then Bill Belichick, whether he wants to admit it or not, is going to live to regret it. But, Tony, both those conditions may not be met. You may not get either one of them.
He felt that there was a flagrant lack of appreciation on the part of Bill Belichick. And listen, it came down to this. If Bill Belichick had gotten on the phone with Tom Brady a year ago, we love you, we never want to lose you, we don't give a damn what it takes, Tom Brady would still be a New England Patriot. Bill Belichick was not willing to do that. He said, damn that. And that is why Tom Brady not only is gone, but he's been gone since last year. It was a foregone conclusion. We all basically knew it. And in the end, that's what it comes down to. So clearly, Bill Belichick is the person to point the finger at more than anybody else. Because as Kraft said to me when he called last week, if Tom Brady had wanted to stay, we would have worked it out. There's only one reason he wanted to leave. And that is Bill Belichick.
The Patriots, Brady divorce, Bill Belichick the bad guy, for sure. Just the way the Crafts wanted it. That's what they're getting.
And Stephen A. can't get out bad enough, huh?
Seriously.
Just like when Robert Kraft called me last week to say, you know, like, okay, we get it. Like, they had nothing to do with this. It was all on Bill.
It was all because he was a meanie. Which, I'm sorry, does not reflect well on Brady. I know they're trying to put it on Bill. But Brady left because Bill was mean? I don't think that's a good look for Brady. You got soft? You got soft on us? You couldn't take it anymore?
Well, I mean, for those of us that feel like it's been more Tom over team in recent years, special players should get a little bit of special treatment.
Oh, feh. I mean, he did. I mean, what other player got his trainer in there? And I know they had a little back and forth with Guerrero, but there was a point where Guerrero had his own office, didn't he? And, you know, they still patched it up. Guerrero's on the sidelines. What other trainer got his personal trainer? I mean, what other player got his personal trainer on the sidelines? So Brady had some consideration. Just probably not everything that he wanted. But, in that effort there to say that if Belichick had just shown him some love and shown him some respect, I think that's making Brady look a little weak. But it's something we'll be talking about for days, weeks, months, and years, I am sure. Wrap it up here with your phones. Tim in Marlboro on the return of the NHL. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you've noticed, but some of the NHL players have started the campaign that they don't want to hop right into the playoffs when they get back. McDavid said something today, but it kind of makes sense, right? Like, we're going to have all this time off and go hop in like, July or whatever and go Edmonton-Calgary and have them rip each other's faces off. Like,
yep.
You know, I know we're going to have training camp, but I mean, for a week or something, but God, that's going to be so weird.
Okay, Tim, the players want a little ramp up. Most of them. I've heard different things from different guys, but I think the majority of players that I've heard from want that ramp up. It's not all altruistic on their part either. They only get paid in the regular season. So they still had a couple of game checks coming their way. And I think they probably get paid every 2 weeks like the rest of us in the regular season. So I think they had another check or two due to them coming from these teams, which is why I think they want the regular season to finish. Or one of the reasons. The other one is also you would hate to go from 0 to 60, and that's again just begging for pulled groins and muscle pulls and things like that. So you would want some ramp up before the playoff games begin. But they also want their money. They get paid in the regular season, not the playoffs.
Well, and that sport especially is so hard to simulate or replicate, right? Like, you know, you can say you want to get a couple of a basketball player wants to get in a gym and play 2-on-2 or something. That I'm not telling you that's perfect either. But the hockey guys, how do you simulate 5-on-5 at that speed? Yeah, you can't unless you're playing.
Derek and Adams on the Patriots. Go ahead, Derek.
Hi, I got a string of hypotheticals that lands Ben Roethlisberger as a Patriots quarterback.
Oh, God. Please, no.
Yep. Cam Newton, if you get him on a prove-it deal, probably has the highest upside out of any free agent quarterback in the league right now, right?
Yeah, go. Just be quick.
Okay. Mike Tomlin does something stupid, releases Big Ben, or trades him to the Patriots to get draft picks to fix the wide receiver situation.
Hey, Derek.
Cam Newton.
Derek.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. Wait, I'm just not going to engage
draft
this.
Picks for Ben Roethlisberger. I wouldn't trade a shoe. One shoe for Ben Roethlisberger at this point.
Well, hold on. What? Then just not to engage him because it's not going to happen.
I can facilitate. Hold on. What do I got here?
But let me facilitate for you. What if you were free?
No.
What if he didn't cost you anything?
No.
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 If he cost you nothing?
Nothing.
No.
I don't care if he paid the team to join.
No.
No. No. He's done.
No, I look, I'm telling you from a business standpoint, Mike, sure. I'm telling you, I personally, no. I think the guy's a dirtbag. No. In the same way that I would say no to Antonio Brown if he's nothing.
Yeah.
But I do want to jump on part of what the caller said.
Oh, really?
This part. He started with Cam Newton. Wouldn't Cam Newton be a good fit for the Steelers?
Okay, that I was going to say too, actually. If you sign Cam Newton to back up Ben Roethlisberger or push him or whatever, yes. Now, I don't know if Newton would do it. I don't know if he'd want to come in and back somebody up and hold a clipboard and be an understudy. But talk about not having to change your offense. I mean, it's largely the same guy.
Oh, I thought Winston would be a better fit there because it's
that works too.
Big arm,
yeah, I'll take that too.
Big arm doofus that's also a pervert. So it's a perfect fit.
So all the women can keep the doors locked and the windows rolled up.
We're used to this here. Sure, Brady.
617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to get in this last segment. Tony in Alston. Go ahead, Tony. Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for... Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Hi. So my point was I'm totally with you guys. Like, have the teams come back and play empty stadiums and all that. That, like, I would love to be able to watch some sports again. I guess like the point you guys had about having some kind of Sweet 16 for the NBA, that sounds really fun and interesting, but like I don't see how it could be for the same like NBA Finals trophy. Like teams that like would have had a shot at winning the trophy this year, the season had played out, like the Lakers or the Clippers.
I understand.
Or like they could get knocked out in the first round and like, you know, these like leagues are based on like the big markets watching for longer periods of
time. Tony, I get it, but all I'm telling you is if they come up with that kind of tournament and make it for something new, or it's just an exhibition then.
Right.
Right. I mean, I need stakes. I'm not interested in, you know, them getting together and just playing the game. I mean, I don't love basketball or like any of these sports.
It has to be for your usual real trophies.
It's got to be for something.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you, and again, the scenario I painted was that's the only thing they had time for, was a one-and-done, one-off, true 16-team, Sweet 16 bracket, lose-and-go-home sort of. They only had 2 weeks, and they could jam that in. That's all they could do. I'm fine with it, but it's got to be for the Larry O'Brien Trophy and the NBA Championship, and then I'm in.
Yeah, people are just going to have to accept the reality that we're just going to be able to do the best we can do. There is, you know, this is a wildly unusual circumstance and time. And so nothing is going to be even close to perfect to what we're used to, but you got to take what you can get at this stage.
And by the way, I don't think it's going to come to that. I mean, I buy into some of Cuban's stuff. I think Mark Cuban has been so strong on saying, we're going to be back before you think. And we're going to be definitely playing in empty arenas, and that's definitely the way it's going to go. And hopefully, after a little bit of time, things have calmed down, or maybe we found some treatments that can get us into some stadiums with some people in them. But I think the NBA is going to be playing games in empty stadiums, and it's not going to be a one-off tournament. There's going to have a real, you know, not a real, real, real thing, but something closer to it than maybe we realize right now. At least that's what I want to believe. Here's Josh in Webster. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? Like, something I haven't heard, like, a lot of people talk about is, like, virtual reality. Like, I know it might be expensive for a lot of people, but the NBA, like, already has the technology in place, and they actually even, like, sell a league package based around it already. So, like, I didn't know, like, you guys' opinion, like, why they're not marketing that, and, like, it seems like the perfect opportunity for something like that just to step in.
So what was that first part?
So the league, actually, you can buy a package if you have, the VR headset. The NBA is actually the first league to do this, I believe. You can pay extra to watch the games in VR. So it's like you're almost like you're sitting in the fancy guy seats that you normally have when you sit next to Wick.
Yeah, Jimmytown.
Yeah.
Can you heckle them?
No, but it's a different viewing experience. And it's all well and good with the callers bringing up, but who's got money? You know, so many people. how many people just applied nationwide for unemployment? Like, so, okay, yeah, that would work.
3.2 million.
A minuscule amount of people throughout the country. No one can afford the headsets or that extra package.
How much do the headsets cost?
I think like $100, $150.
I'm stunned Maz doesn't have like a set of them.
I'm sure he does.
I'm sure he's
working.
You've got him right now, right behind you, somewhere
that,
in there.
Just shut up.
You've got every gadget known to man.
Don't have every one. I have most of them.
That in conjunction with the Brazzers VR Premium.
No, I don't need 3D for that, Murray. Two dimensions, plenty there. Look, if we're talking about getting sound in the arenas, can they put up those little portals like they have on those Facebook commercials so people can heckle the players? I kind of like the idea of seeing Fat Felger's head in one of those little portals. Yeah. screaming at Brad Stevens or something.
I got virtual fans. Brian and Quincy, go.
Hey guys, nice to get through to you. I've been reading the Herald next to last page the last 4 days. They have the best top 10 athletes in Boston. And 1967, we had Kyle Yastrzemski, and I know how that kind of rankles Mike, but if I was a 13-year-old boy there, one of the best times of my life.
Okay, Brian, how'd 67 turn out for you?
It turned out very good.
They totally forgot that they've lost.
Unbelievable.
Totally forgot they lost in 60s. You lost that World Series, man. I've been glance at that Herald list. I see guys like Havlicek and Yaz up, and I'm like,
what'd you do?
There were good white guys here in Boston for a time when you were losers. Like, they weren't the greatest of all time. Like,
you're underselling Havlicek. I think he was drafted by the Cleveland Browns as a wide receiver, wasn't he?
Neat. I just think you folks overrate Havlicek. You know, Bob Ryan once told me that he would have that. I've told you this story many times.
Yeah.
Bob Ryan was on the drive with Mike Felger on 890 ESPN on live radio. Not that anyone could hear it, but he said it. He's going on and on about Havlicek, on and on, like, Jesus, Bob. Okay, Bob, shush. Like, one-on-one, Kobe Bryant versus Havlicek, who wins? And he said, Kobe would be lucky to win a game. He said, Kobe would be lucky to win a game. And I just said,
I thought he said, good luck to Kobe.
Oh, no, good luck to Kobe. That's it. Right. I missed the punchline. It was something like that. It was like, Havlicek, and it wouldn't even be close. His line was, good luck to Kobe. I said, oh, Bob, you poor old Boston sports fan. Like, no. But anyway, Vinny out at NBC Sports Boston, put up that picture you just were showing us in the studio here. Do we have a little cartoon reenactment of Maz his home office?
Yeah, it's a new feature on the simulcast.
So if you're watching on simulcast, you're seeing, if you're listening on radio, what this is a cartoon drawing of Maz in his home office with a picture of Nomar behind him and a Red Sox logo behind him and a fish tank behind him. So it's kind of close. He's got, what he really has is a poster of some press passes from things that he's covered in the past.
See, now Vinny is trying to make me into a butt boy here by showing this particular cartoon or drawing. And the reality is that everybody knows that I don't have a fish tank.
Everything else, pretty close. Final word comes your way next.
Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
No one.
Nope.
So I was under the impression that we were going to run best ofs of Mad Mike and Squeaky Maz, but Hardy, who's technically like on 2 days vacation.
All right. Yeah, that's true. He's on vacation. Yeah. He did this just for us.
Nice.
Have some late breaking production
just
from
for
Hardy.
Me.
Thanks, Hardy.
Some numbers you can't change in 9 innings is one of them. I immediately said, why not?
Right.
It's the sacred number. It's the nine, you know, it's threes, three outs, three strikes, nine hit. I'm blowing out your ass.
You'd have 2 hour game.
No, and I... Yeah, I'm sorry, Murray. I'm going to tell you, too, that... He said, well, our fans don't want anything less than 162. Really?
Huh?
Which France? Because I'll take less than 162. Give me the seven-inning doubleheaders. Give me 140 games. Give me all of these things.
The first idea they came up with, and the number one thing on their list, was to start the season with the All-Star game.
Oh, my gosh.
Who gives a rat about the All-Star game?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. Seriously. Sorry, Murray.
Is that going to drive people back to the game?
No.
Who cares about your stupid All-Star game? Are you
serious? Well,
yeah.
Sorry.
That's good.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Sorry. Go ahead.
Kenny Rosenthal and Jason Stark, they still think baseball matters. They still think people get horny for baseball. Look at all the stars on the field. An All-Star game? Oh, my God. When I read that, I'm like, these guys don't get it,
man. No, they don't get it. And look, they also mentioned All-Star bonus clauses for the players. Who gives a rat's ass whether these guys get their bonus clause? Irrelevant. Who gives a crap about the All-Star game?
It's enough to make you want to cancel your
subscription. Yeah, I'm sorry, Murray.
it's so good.
So good. It captures it perfectly.
Yeah, it's a little tougher to do the show without eye contact. You know, what can I say?
It is what it is. New normal. Oh, well, that's perfect. That's amazing. Hardy, thanks for doing that.